Morning, church. I think we should give a round of applause to the VU team and Tommy. Thank you. Yes. They did a good job, right? And the hymns actually, the songs, they actually fit the message that I'm going to preach, and also the season of Lent. This is the fifth Sunday of the season of Lent. We open the PowerPoint. Yes. Lent is a season that we contemplate on the suffering and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time to remember Him, just like Tony said, and also it's time to meditate on His sacrificial love. So today I'm going to preach on the theme of Lent, a little bit on suffering, and also the theme of Christ. That we are the theme of our worship, the center of our worship today. All the songs point toward Christ, our Savior. So I'm not sure whether we have a tradition to observe Lent, because we are not like the liturgical church, right? We have robes and colors. Like Lent is usually there's a color of purple. Like the king, our God is our king, and is as a servant king. So, but I would like to encourage you to contemplate the love of God during this season, the love of Christ, the sacrificial love of Christ, that He died on the cross for us. So now I'm... Okay. Could you... this is a different format. You are using... the old format, 4:4:6. Is it the format that you're using? Okay, thank you. So sorry about that. So I'm going to start off with this question. Who is Jesus to you? When you talk about Christ, who is Christ Jesus to you? Let's take a moment to reflect on it. Who's Christ Jesus to you? As Christian and Missionary Alliance, at least you have four answers to me. The first one will be the cross. Christ is our Savior. The second, the lover. Christ is our sanctifier. Okay? And the preacher, Christ is our healer. And the last one, the crown. Christ is our coming King. Right? Alliance family, we should know that. So, this is a formal answer, right? Is it a personal answer to you? Have you experienced Christ as your Savior? Yes, of course. Deep down there is that salvation, that precious to you. Christ is our sanctifier. Have you experienced Christ help you to deal with sins? Deal with your shortcomings? Have you experienced God, Christ, as your healer? Have you received any healing from Him? Are you really waiting for His second coming? So maybe you would like myself. Christ, it's not very clear, but it's good enough, eh? Christ, like a buddy. Is Christ your BF? What's BF? Best friend, right? Are you using this term now? No, not now, right? But my daughter uses it, and she uses another one, BFF. What's that? Best friend forever. Is Jesus Christ your best friend? It's more personal, right? Or this one? Is Jesus Christ a cop to you? Protecting you and also punish you if you misbehave. Okay, just a few descriptions of what Christ to you personally. But really, today I'm going to like to dig deeper. What Christ really means to you? It's a very important question. If you have a close relationship with God and truly believe that Christ is your best friend, It's a savior. It's a healer. It's a sanctifier. It's a coming king. Then your life will live differently. So today I'm going to dig deeper in this. And at the end of the sermon, may God transform us, because we have heard what he has told us through the book of Philippians. I will encourage you to turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3 as we go deeper in this passage. After we read the passage, we know that there's one description that Paul uses here in this passage. He said, Christ is his Lord, or my Lord. This description is the only one time he uses in all his letters. Most of the time he used our Lord. It's not like a personal one, but this one is really personal. It's my God, expressing a kind of a very intimate and very personal relationship that he has with Jesus Christ. So he said, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Actually, the whole passage is Paul's testimony, personal testimony, or his aspiration, or his faith journey that he wants to share with the Philippian believers. So we are going to dig into this to see what Jesus Christ means to Paul in a very personal way. And hopefully we can learn from it. Let's look at that personal testimony of Paul and see how it starts and how it ends. I would like you to turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3. Actually, this is a new topic starting in verse 2. Actually, Paul warned the Philippians believers that beware of the dogs, which is very serious and or insulting description of those people. Actually, he continued to describe them as doing evil. Those men are bad men. Why? Because they're preaching a different gospel. They are believers. They're Christians. Most probably they are Jews. And they propose that if you want to be a Christian, you have to do the circumcision. If not, you are not up to the requirements of being a Christian. This is totally nonsense. So that's why Paul called them dogs and men who do evil. It's a very serious thing. So it's light of death, because it's the right doctrines and false doctrine. So Paul named them as dogs. And then in verse 3, it continues to put laid out what is right. Let's take a look at verse 3. For it is we who are the circumcision. Actually, it's a figurative description. They are not really have circumcision, but really come to Christ, really be born again, are those who worship by the Spirit of God and who glory or boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. This is the right doctrine. And then Paul spins off to another whole area. He gives him as a personal testimony, as an example, how he can really depend on the flesh, if he can. Why? He lists out criteria or what he attained or what his ethical background is, to show that if someone can boast and rely on the flesh, he surely can. Then he goes on, using a metaphor of commerce, that no, the thing that he thought it was gains, now it was a loss. What's important to him is Jesus Christ. So he's willing to give up everything to know Christ or to gain Christ. Again, a commerce metaphor. So to buy something and to gain Christ. And then continues on to speak on the essence of knowing Christ. Later on, we will expound on this a little bit more. And then lastly, another metaphor. A metaphor of running a race. So the main idea is to persevere until the end, where he can really meet Christ. really see Christ, we need to know Jesus Christ in heaven. So this is a chain of thoughts. It's a personal testimony of Paul. So you can have a grip of the whole passage. So I'm now starting off with verse 7, the metaphor of commerce. Very interesting. Paul used the everyday activities, like doing business, to explain why Christ is precious to him. Okay, like he's doing business, he's putting on some with some money, okay, to begin with. And then he said, if I can rely on the flesh, I can gain many things. First of all, he's a Jew. Bing, ding. He's gained something, okay? And then, from a honorable tribe, it's the Benjamin, right, where King Saul, the first king of Israel, came from. Bing! Another gain. He's a Pharisee, a knowledgeable man, know the law, educated person. Ding! Another gain. And also, he's very devoted. And also, he's a practicing Jew. He's not just talking about it. He walks the talk. Ding! Another gain. But now, he's considered as lost. He's lost. Not even breaking even. Lost! His investment is all gone. Because his righteousness is about his own. That comes from the law. From behavior. From outward behaviors. And the true righteousness is coming from God through Christ. Through faith in Christ. This is the righteousness that's set forth by God. So, the past cannot give him anything good in terms of having the righteousness of God. So you will ask, what's righteousness? What's righteousness? I think the first thing comes to you, maybe, it's our good conduct, right? Good living, right? Righteousness, you are a righteous man, you are doing something good. It's all about ethical standards and all that. No. Righteousness is a relationship. Righteousness is a relationship. This is, you can go back to the Old Testament when God established covenant with the Israelites. The commandments, there's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. What's that? Remember? Love your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all of your strength. Actually, it's a relationship. It's not something you have to do. Actually, have this relationship first. And then, because you love God, you obey His commandments. This is a covenant. This is the essence of the righteousness. It's actually a relationship. A right relationship with God. And then the actions come next. In the same manner, in the New Testament, what is righteousness? Knowing Christ is the only way to restore a right relationship with God. So Christ is the crux of it. So that's why Paul says, knowing Christ is what he's after. He's willing to let go of everything, forfeit everything, in order to gain Christ, to know Christ. Because everything, compared to Christ, is just nothing. It is like what? Rubbish. Actually, the original language is what? The word starts with an S. the dung or sheet. Not rubbish. Rubbish is like, okay, rubbish. But smelly things. Compared to Jesus Christ, everything in his past, his achievements, his ethnic backgrounds, is like sheet. And he is willing to forfeit everything in order to gain Christ. Another metaphor of commerce. Let's pause for a moment. How precious is Christ to you or to me? How precious is it? Are you willing to let go of everything to know him more? Really? Or am I willing to let go of everything in order to know him more? It's a very difficult question. Yes, it's a difficult. But let us meditate on it. If you think that the relationship between you and Christ is most critical or crucial or most meaningful, how do you spend time or make space or make time with Christ? Your devotional life? Your prayer life, spending time reading the gospel, having a personal retreat, spend time alone with him, building relationship with God like any other interpersonal relationship. You have to make space and make time. There's no other method. During this Lent season, I encourage you and also remind myself to spend more time meditate on Christ, the love of Christ, so that our relationship will be deepened and closer. Then we goes on. Then we go on to the second section, the essence of the knowing Christ. It's in verse 10 to 11. Verses 10 to 11. The first one that Paul explains what is the essence of knowing Christ. The first one is to experience the power of the resurrection. What's that mean? The first one is the power of the regeneration. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He, God, has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of the resurrection of Christ, it is a power that our life can be transformed. Because our life was an old self and no hope, but because of Jesus Christ, our lives were transformed. It's a miracle. It's a power. It's not something taken easily or lightly. It's the power of God that our lives can be transformed. The first one is about how we generate life. It's the power of the resurrection of Christ. And also, the power to live a spirit-led life. In Romans 8, the whole chapter is talking about living a holy life to following Christ. And if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead, who raised Christ from the dead? The spirit of God. The powerful spirit of God raised Christ from death. So that's why when Spirit lives in you, you have that power. You are empowered with the Spirit. We always pray like that, right? Power, a Spirit, empower me to live a life that is glorifying to you. Live a sanctified or live a holy life. This is what the Spirit does in us. There's another, the power of the meaning of the power of the resurrection. And then, the second thing is, it's really challenging us, right? To share in his suffering. To know Christ is to share in his suffering. It's against the wealth and health gospel. To know Christ is to share in his suffering. It's come, knowing Christ comes in a package. Yes, you can experience the power of his resurrection. Yes, indeed. But it comes in a package. It includes suffering. So if you really want to know Christ, or to Paul, if he really wants to know Christ, he has to suffer. Actually, he suffered a lot. Let's ponder on this a little bit more. Have you been suffered for Christ? Have you? I cannot count myself as my sickness as suffering for Christ. No. No, it's just the sinful consequences or the consequences of sin, right? Yeah. Have I really suffered for Christ as I do my ministry? If yes, then you are participate in the fellowship of Christ, of the suffering of Christ. Maybe through that suffering, you know Christ in a very, very personal way. And I congratulate you. Then, to be conformed to his death, even to the point of death. Wow. It's hard. It's really hard, right? When you look at Christ, he's willing to lay down all he has. Become a servant or become a slave to us. And then, willing to die for us, even die on the cross. The most terrible execution method in the Empire of Rome. Conform to his death, meaning let go of our self-will, willing to sacrifice, willing to surrender our all to God. And you can have this goal insight is to be resurrected and also conform, another word used, the same word as conform to his death or similar word, conform to his glorious body, as in chapter 3, verse 21. The translation in my NIV Bible is like his glorious body. Actually, the Greek word is conformed. So we look at knowing Christ, actually, when I give it like a formula or like a in a nutshell, it's actually following Christ's footstep. Let's turn to Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Then you know what Paul is saying. Actually, he's following Christ's footstep. It's a famous hymn, right, in the book of Philippians. Who? Jesus Christ. Being in the very nature, God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but make himself nothing. Take the very nature, or take the form of a servant. Being made in the human form, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Knowing Christ is following Christ's footstep. Experience the transformation of our life, including suffering, including to the point of death, willing to surrender ourselves in order to know Christ more. Then, Paul continues his testimony using a metaphor of running a race. What is it all about? He has already mentioned the power of the resurrection is already finished. He has already experienced in verse 12, but not yet in verse 13. Let's take a look at verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Brothers, I do consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, not yet finished. But one thing I do, forgetting is behind and straining toward." Okay? And verse 12 also. Sorry, I should mention 12. "Not that I have already obtained all this." Two times he mentioned that he's in the race. As a metaphor, he's running the race. He's in the race. It's not finished yet. He's enduring suffering maybe, but he's still on the race. He's not finished. He still has to persevere. And also then, two times, the word "press on" is used. Verse 12, "I press on to take hold of that." And verse 14, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." It's very obvious that Paul wants to gain Christ, wants to know Christ, then he has to persevere until he meets God, meets Jesus, know Jesus in a very, very special way when he goes to heaven. So the last metaphor is to press on. Press on. Don't give up. Don't give up in spite of hardship, in spite of persecution, in spite of everything that is against you. Press on until you can finally know Christ, meet Christ in heaven. This is the final metaphor that is used in his personal testimony. I prepared a video clip. It's a very amazing story. It's an inspiring story. John Stephen Akri is a Tanzanian marathon runner who won the prize of the last prize. It's the last one who finished the race. Maybe you have heard this story. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, it's with the sound. Let's look at the subtitle and you know the story. My country sent me 5,000 miles not to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. I paraphrase it with on the verse 14. Christ suffered and died for us. And call us to be his kid or his child, not to begin the race. He suffered and died and call us his child to finish the race. Heavenward, continue pursuing, striving toward the goal that one day we can get the prize. The prize in this context is Jesus Christ himself. Knowing Christ in a very, very special way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that Paul is a very special man. He's a spiritual giant. But his examples actually also be our encouragement. Actually, it's just what we should all going after. Because in the following verse, Paul says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some points you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And then verse 17, Paul says, joy with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we give you. Oh, Father, help us to really want to know you. Especially during this Lent season, we want to know more about your suffering. Maybe we are going through suffering right now. We ask that you would let us know. Actually, we are participate and in fellowship with your suffering. And we can be comforted, encouraged. And we know that one day, in spite of all this, we can meet you face to face. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can I actually ask the praise team to sing the first song as a response hymn? Yeah, I think that song is it's encouragement to all of us. Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Shall we stand? First song, Christ is Enough, as requested.